Welcome back to Hannity. So Donald Trump continues to push his plan to combat illegal immigration. Here's what he said last night when asked if the 14th Amendment protects babies born to illegal parents living in the United States.
I think you're wrong about the 14th Amendment. And frankly, the whole thing with anchor babies and the concept of anchor babies, they're saying it's not going to hold up in court. Now it's going to have to be tested, but they say it's not going to hold up in court. Regardless, when people are illegally in the country, they have to go. I'd much rather find out whether or not anchor babies are actually citizens, because a lot of people don't think they are.
Here now with reaction, the author of the number one New York Times bestseller for 2 weeks in a row, Plunder and Deceit. We call him the great one, Mark Levin. Thank me. How am I?
You're looking pretty good.
It's the makeup. All right. Now, Rand Paul was right on this. Trump was right on this. Cruz is right on this. Walker's right on this. You mentioned on your radio program yesterday, and I think this is important. I think it's worth putting up. A Republican Senator Jacob Howard of Michigan, while they were debating the 14th Amendment, he's the author of the clause, every person born within the limits of the United Correct. States and subject to their jurisdiction is by virtue of natural law and national law a citizen of the U.S. This will not, of course, include persons born in the United States who are foreigners, aliens, who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers accredited to the government of the United States, but will include every other class of persons. It settles, you know, and as you pointed out, it settles the great question of citizenship and removes all doubt as to what this clause meant. Why are so many people getting this wrong?
Because they're result-oriented, because they want to insist the Constitution says what it doesn't say. Moreover, the Supreme Court has never ruled that the children of illegal aliens are American citizens. So the Supreme Court has never ruled it. Even if they did, it would be wrong. The clause speaks for itself. The author of the clause made it abundantly, unequivocally clear. And let me add one other thing. Let's read the clause together, shall we? All persons born or naturalized in the United States. Let's stop there. If it means what the proponents of birthright citizenship say, it would stop right there. All persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens. There's no need for anything else. But that's not what it says. Then it says, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, you have some slip-and-fall lawyers, some phony constitutional lawyers. They have Esquire after their name. They come on TV. They go all over the place. Jurisdiction means geography. Jurisdiction has nothing to do with geography. Zero. It had to do with political allegiance to the United States of America. How do we know it? Because they said it. And they also excluded everybody that the left and some of the Republicans want to include. Now, here's the good news. There's another part of the Constitution. It's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4. Here's what that says in plain English. The Congress shall have power to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. Now, you know what that means? That means Congress, not the courts, not the president, not ICE. It means the United States Congress has the power to regulate immigration in this regard. And guess what, Sean? In the 1920s, that's exactly what it did. The 14th Amendment excludes Indians, that is, Native Americans, as U.S. citizens because they felt that they had an allegiance to their own national tribes. Okay, great. And I believe it was in 1923, Congress reversed course and said, you know what, under the 14th Amendment and under this Article 1, we've decided to grant citizenship, national citizenship,
well, this is important,
to all Native Americans.
Because you're talking about
it could not be clearer.
Article 1, Section 8, you're right. It gives the broadest possible power to the Congress to establish the uniform rule of naturalization. This should not be even in debate. And what we're talking about here are people that enter this country illegally, so-called anchor babies. Their children are born here. And people on the left want them to automatically gain citizenship. Part of Trump's deal and Ted Cruz and Scott Walker, Rand Paul, they're saying no. They're right, you're right, and these other people obviously don't know history. I don't know. So I guess there's going to be a big debate.
Look, I have been looking into this, talking about this for years, long before this presidential cycle. Of course, Trump is right, and Cruz is right, and Sessions is right. They're all right. And to hear so-called constitutional conservatives trip all over themselves to sound like liberals, to rewrite this provision and accuse those of us who actually know something about it, know the history about it, know the senators who were involved in it, know what went into it, know what was meant by it, that we're the activists, that we're the extremists. Look, if you want a policy of open borders, that anybody born here should become a United States citizen, you amend the Constitution. We don't have to amend the Constitution. It says what we say it says. And by statute, going forward, prospectively, Congress can, in fact, say, we want to emphasize to this federal government, to this president, no, you cannot make children of illegal aliens American citizens automatically.
All right, agree completely.
Birthright citizenship. I have discussed this a few times in my radio career. I think 2009, maybe it was 2010, once or twice since then. And unfortunately, I had to sit and watch on TV while I was in California, so-called experts tell us, and former Bush appointees and a former Superior Court judge in New Jersey tell us, that the Constitution embraces birthright citizenship. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it. Well, that, of course, is completely false. And I don't know why people who call themselves constitutionalists swerve back and forth, lurch from the Constitution to Supreme Court decisions and back and forth. First, let's figure out what the Constitution says. And I see our senior legal analyst friend, he is a friend of mine, Napolitano, is all over the place, and he's wrong, as are many, many other so-called experts. I've actually spent my life on the Constitution. I wasn't a Superior Court judge in New Jersey. I wasn't a professor for donuts and coffee at Schmagegi University or what have you. And this is one of the areas I have pored over the decades. And yet nobody did a better job at explaining this than Professor Edward Erler, who I've talked about over the years. And he's a professor at California State University. He was also at the Claremont Institute, senior fellow there. But more than that, he happens to be right. And he testified before a subcommittee of Congress many years ago, almost 20 years ago, and he set forth the case. Now, he's not the only one. Professor Thomas West has. Lino Graglia has, professor at the University of Texas Law School. But even more than them, the framers of the Constitution set forth the basic law. And then we have, after the Civil War, three amendments to the Constitution, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, called the Civil War Amendments. And we know pretty much what occurred. Professor Erler was testifying. He said, it's my considered opinion Congress has the authority under Section 5 of the Fourth Amendment to define the jurisdiction of the United States, of the 14th Amendment, of course. Indeed, it is my contention that Congress has exercised that power on many occasions, most recently in the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986. And I would say they also exercised it with the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996. He points out, Senator Jacob Howard, you are now going to know more than anybody else, ladies and gentlemen. You know, one of the things I find when I sign books, and it's good to do it because I get to talk to so many of you, people say, Mark, your show is different because you really get into the substance. Now, we have fun. Don't get me wrong. We do our thing, too. But we do really get into the substance. It's one thing to say, yeah. Obviously, the Constitution doesn't provide that. That's not enough. That's not enough. So when you're in a debate format or a political format or a classroom format or this format, you need to back it up. And that's what we do here. We back it up. Senator Jacob Howard, the author of the Citizenship Clause in the 14th Amendment, he spoke. He told us what he meant. He defined who would fall within the, quote, jurisdiction of the United States, unquote. Ready? Quote, every person born within the limits of the United States and subject to their jurisdiction, meaning the states, their jurisdiction, is by virtue of natural law and national law a citizen of the United States. This will not, of course, include persons born in the United States who are foreigners, aliens, who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers accredited to the government of the United States, but will include every other class of persons, It settles the great question of citizenship and removes all doubt as to what persons are or are not citizens of the United States. This has long been a great issue in the jurisprudence and legislation of this country. Mr. Call Screener, Mr. Producer, you understand that, right? Is it not plain English? Is he not as clear as can be that it does not include aliens, it does not include foreigners, it does not include families or with ambassadors or foreign ministers? So the author of Citizenship Clause intended to count foreigners, aliens, and those born to ambassadors, foreign ministers, as outside the jurisdiction of the United States. That's Senator Jacob Howard. He knew, as his reference to natural law indicates, that the Republican basis, little r, Republican basis for citizenship, is consent. Consent of the country. You can't self-immigrate. You can't claim jurisdiction because you happen to walk into the United States. Senator Lyman Trumbull, chairman of the Judiciary Committee and a powerful supporter of the 14th Amendment, remarked on May 30th, 1866, that the jurisdiction clause includes those, quote, not owing allegiance to anybody else. It's only those persons, I'm quoting, who come completely within our jurisdiction, who are subject to our laws, that we think of making citizens, and there can be no objection to the proposition that such persons should be citizens. Now, this was familiar language. The Civil Rights Act of 1866 defined citizens of the United States as, quote, all persons born in the United States and not subject to any foreign power, excluding Indians not taxed, unquote. Not subject to any foreign power. It is universally agreed that the immediate impulse for the passage of the 14th Amendment was to constitutionalize the Civil Rights Act of 1866. It was an attempt to put the question of citizenship and matters of federal civil rights beyond the reach of simple congressional majorities. Thus, it is clear the idea of allegiance, not subject to any foreign power, quote unquote, was central to understanding the jurisdiction clause of the 14th Amendment. Much of the debate about the jurisdiction clause in Congress centered on the status of Indians. The immediate question was whether the 14th Amendment would confer citizenship upon the Indians as well as upon the newly freed slaves. The former slaves, of course, had been born in the United States, had always been subject to jurisdiction. Was the same true of Indians? Indians were surely born in the United States, but were they subject to its jurisdiction in the sense of not owing allegiance to anybody else? Senator Trumbull, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he noted that the provision that all persons born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens means subject to the complete jurisdiction thereof, unquote. He proceeded to deny that Indians were in any sense subject to complete jurisdiction of the United States. He said we make treaties with them, and therefore they're not subject to our jurisdiction. It cannot be said of any Indian who owes allegiance, partial allegiance, if you please, to some other government, that he's subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Now, the author of the Citizenship Clause, Senator Howard, emphatically agreed with Trumbull's assessment that Indians would not become citizens of the United States. And by the way, many of the Native Americans didn't want to become citizens of the United States. So it wasn't like they were punishing the Indians. But insofar as Indians owed tribal allegiance, they were not within the jurisdiction of the United States, even though they were born within its territorial limits and in many instances subject to its laws. And by the way, over time, that changed. And over time, that changed. And today, Native Americans are citizens of the United States as well as their tribal nations. Let's see. So it is really beyond debate that the jurisdiction clause of the 14th Amendment was intended by its framers to have independent force. Not all persons born in the geographical limits of the United States are within the jurisdiction of the United States. The legal jurisdiction of the United States. To be within the jurisdiction of the United States means to be within its political jurisdiction. Those who today advocate birthright citizenship for children of illegal aliens born into the geographic boundaries of the U.S. believe the 14th Amendment extends to these children what the framers of the 14th Amendment did not extend to Native Americans. And this is why I so fervently agree with disagree with Judge Napolitano. The absurdity of this position that the Bush people are taking on TV, that these phony professors are taking on TV, that others who claim some knowledge beyond this truth, beyond the facts, are taking on TV is simply not true. It's simply not true. And just think about how asinine that would have been. They were trying to address the issue of freed black slaves after the Civil War. And they wanted to make it abundantly clear from state to state and as a national policy matter that they were subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. They were persons subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, and they were citizens of the United States. So all of a sudden, this argument that some illegal alien or any alien can step into the United States, claim by him or herself that now they have legal and political jurisdiction, and if they give birth to a baby in the United States, that they have conferred citizenship on their own baby is insanity. It's insanity. And it happens in only two countries. The United States and Canada. And so, we do have a Supreme Court decision. A perversion of the Supreme. By the way, I've got tons more here on this. We'll only take it step by step here. United States versus Wong Kim Ark in 1898. With the Supreme Court, as it has done so often, turn the language in the Constitution on its head. And now you're going to hear, and you have heard people say, there's no recourse. A constitutional amendment, that's not going to happen, they say. And, of course, the Supreme Court's not going to reverse itself. And so, typically, move on, America, move on. The case is closed. It's all over. Watch your society deteriorate. Watch what's... There's nothing you can do about it. We're stuck. We're stuck. Just move along. No, we're not. In this particular instance, the Constitution is on our side in a second way. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution grants plenary power, the broadest possible power, to the United States Congress, quote, to establish the uniform rule of naturalization, unquote. And as Erler points out, by necessary inference, Congress has the power to regulate immigration and set the terms by which those who are illegally admitted can remain in the country. It certainly can establish standards for which the contract of citizenship can be offered and the qualifications of those to whom it will be offered. Congress is fully competent under the 14th Amendment to pass legislation defining those who are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. It doesn't require a constitutional amendment to withhold citizenship from children born in the United States of illegal alien parents. Their parents are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, the political and legal jurisdiction of the United States. And they seek citizenship for their children without the consent of the nation. It defies logic to insist that an illegal act on the part of parents can confer the boon of citizenship upon their children. The nation has specified the terms of its consent in the Uniform Rules for Naturalization and laws governing immigration. The argument for birthright citizenship is more suitable to feudalism than it is to republicanism. I will continue this issue as soon as we return. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
We'll be right back.
the author of the Citizenship Clause of the 14th Amendment specifically says it does not include foreigners and aliens and Indians. It specifically does not. And so the burden is on those who continue to pervert the Constitution to tell us. If you're an originalist, if you're a constitutional conservative, if you're a serious lawyer, tell us. Tell us where the author of the relevant provision of the 14th Amendment said otherwise. Show us. Tell me where to look. Tell me what to read. Help me. No, that had nothing to do with the 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship. That phrase isn't even discussed. It's not even raised, birthright citizenship for illegal aliens. Where is it? Where is it? The debate was over Indians. There was no debate over the French or the British or the Mexicans or what have you. There was never any issue that somebody can come into the United States, give birth, and as a result of geographic jurisdiction, that baby would automatically become an American citizen. I'm waiting for the evidence. Any evidence whatsoever. I'll be right back.
The straight and narrow path. You have a guide. Mark Levin. Call him now at 877-381-3811.
Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Congress has the power to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. Does that mean anything? Well, we heard Justice Kennedy write when it came to the state of Arizona that it means everything. That the federal government has plenary power when it comes to exercising lawmaking in the immigration area. Does that mean except when it comes to the Supreme Court? No. If it has plenary power, that is, the federal government, then it has plenary power. I could even go further. We've reached a point in our perversion of the law where the president has plenary power when it comes to immigration. Not even Congress is involved. I've talked about this before. Congress has the power to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. According to Justice Kennedy, no, the president does. So why wouldn't a president, by the way, it was Rand Paul who first brought up, I went back and looked, the issue of abolishing birthright citizenship. Donald Trump has brought it up. Scott Walker's brought it up. I brought it up many, many years ago. I wrote about it in Liberty and Tyranny. Birthright citizenship. And now we know what it means and doesn't mean. I am calling on all these phony experts right now to show me where the author of the 14th Amendment Citizenship Clause ever, anywhere, said that it conferred jurisdictional, geographical, jurisdictional power for an individual to, in essence, immigrate to the United States. That is to have a baby in the United States and then claim citizenship. Of course they didn't. And those who make excuses for, well, look at the Supreme Court decision in 1898. Well, I don't want to look at the Supreme Court decision in 1898. You know, it's interesting when it comes to due process and the NSA and, oh, no, no, no. Let me tell you what was meant by that. Right? Forget about the court. Let me tell you what was meant by that. Warrantless searches, the general warrants. I've made this case. And now when it comes to this, because they want open borders, it's no, no, forget about the actual original intent. The Supreme Court ruled and there's nothing we can do about it. Baloney. Congress can act on its own. The same Congress that actually has the power, believe it or not, under our Constitution, and it has done it before under these early judiciary acts, to create the lower courts. The federal district courts, the federal appellate courts are not in the Constitution. Congress created them. The broad power that the Supreme Court has, it has seized upon itself. But Congress, believe it or not, has the power to limit it. It absolutely does. So now we're supposed to believe that there's absolutely no recourse when the court says jurisdiction means somebody can come into the country illegally and on their own claim jurisdiction, have a baby, claim citizenship. And there's not a damn thing any of us can do. How much longer are we going to live under this lawlessness, ladies and gentlemen? How much longer are we going to play pretend constitution? How much longer are we going to be ruled like this? And then we're told when we actually assert the actual language in the Constitution, the actual history behind the provision, quote the man who wrote it. Get over it. No, I don't want to get over it. So, yes, Congress can, by statute, exercise its power under Article 1, Section 8. Why in the world do we need a constitutional amendment when the Constitution itself already says that Congress has this power? It's the Supreme Court that's exercising power it does not have. I don't care if I'm the last man standing on this stuff. I just don't care. I'm going to make the case over and over and over again. Since when did it become regularized that violating the Constitution, intentionally rewriting it, amending it through the back door, is the law of the land, and the rest of us have no recourse? Well, Mark, how are you going to round up all these people and deport them? You know what's interesting about this? The moderate Republicans, the rhinos, the Bushies, et al., they think Dwight Eisenhower was a great president. I happen to think Dwight Eisenhower was a pretty good president, as a matter of fact. Don't agree with everything, of course. When he retired, he actually supported the Convention of the States. Well, he was great, but forget about that. Oh, okay. You know what else Eisenhower did? And we've talked about this before. He rounded up 1 million illegal aliens and sent them back over the border. Oh, we can't do that today. I'm not saying we should do that today, but it is amazing to me that we're told we cannot do this, we will not do this. Meanwhile, the left is destroying this country. They violate the rule of law. They do whatever the hell they want. Same with the Republicans. They go along for the ride. The rest of us, we can't do anything. We can't even assert the rule of law. We're told how extreme that is, how crazy it is. You know, when Romney used the phrase self-deport, he was attacked, like he'd said a curse word. What's wrong with self-deport? All it means is the conditions in this country are such that people get up and they leave. People who shouldn't be here in the first place. Oh, can't say that. Well, I am saying that. People who are here illegally, illegal foreigners, illegal aliens, are more likely to leave if the opportunities aren't available to them. So you deny them jobs by making E-Verify not voluntary, but mandatory. You deny them government benefits. You know, we have the federal courts, including the Supreme Court, time and again, they order the federal government to confer benefits on illegal aliens. Case called Plyler, I wrote about it in Men in Black. Conferring education on illegal aliens. Then we have conferring emergency room visits on illegal aliens. Then we have states conferring in-state tuition, licenses, health care on illegal aliens. Then we get back to the federal government, conferring all kinds of federal benefits on illegal aliens. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I suggest we deny these benefits. We close the welfare state to people who are here illegally. And states that offer in-state tuition and driver's licenses should be punished for violating the federal constitution, as they would be otherwise, even when they don't violate the federal constitution. And yes, you end birthright citizenship. And along with that, chain migration. Chain migration came into existence in 1965. It's part of the Great Society. There was no chain migration as a matter of strict legal interpretation. Here's another question I have for the Bushies and the other frauds out there. I've said this many times. Almost 40% of all illegal aliens are here because they violated their visa status. What's a visa? It's like a contract. A visa is like a contract. The foreigner's coming to the United States for a specific reason and for a specific time period. And then get out. Now, they sign their contract not once, but twice. They sign it when they're leaving their country of origin and coming into this country. So they do it twice. Millions of them choose not to leave. Now, why should these people be on the road to legalization? Why should these people be on the road to citizenship? We're not talking about four-year-olds here. We're talking about adults. Almost 40% of the people who are here illegally have violated their visa status. Shouldn't we deport them? Oh, you can't round them up. Why the hell not? And then, of course, legal immigration. If you've read Plunder and Deceit, and if you've read the chapter on immigration, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And many, 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 many of you have. We have so-called legal immigration in this country that's out of control. And Congress sets this number. Over 1 million a year. People are here legally and they're not leaving. This has a definite impact. A definite impact on assimilation because it's too many too fast. Moreover, in our own country, the government doesn't seek assimilation, or as I call it, Americanization. The government seeks Balkanization, because Democrats rule by divide and conquer. One race against another, one religion against another, age groups one against another, and so forth and so on. One in five public school, this is from Plunder and Deceit, one in five public school students are from immigrant homes. 28% of all immigrants are in the country illegally. April 22, 2015, not that long ago, a few months ago, the Congressional Research Service reported between 1970 and 2013, the estimated foreign-born population in the United States increased from 9.7 million to 41.3 million, an increase of 31.6 million people, a 324.5% increase over 43 years. This is national suicide. And what about your children? We never discuss American dreamers, American citizen kids that I call dreamers. They're never part of the discussion. Why aren't they part of the discussion? You even hear guys going, well, okay, we got it, secure the border, but we need more H-1B visas. These are the visas for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Let me tell you something. Of the computer science graduates in this country not entering the information technology workforce, 32% say it's because IT jobs are unavailable. One-third. The Census Bureau reports 74% of those who have a bachelor's degree in science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEMs, are not employed in those occupations. Three-fourths of your kids who go broke, or you go broke, getting these student loans, $1.3 trillion, can't get jobs in their fields. And we're importing people because the Silicon Valley, the Chamber of Commerce, and the United States Congress are in bed together. Listen to this one, again, from Plunder and Deceit. STEM-related industry wages have remained flat and are hovering around their late 1990s levels. You know what that means? That means salaries of professionals in those fields, should they get those jobs, have not increased in the last 17 years. Meanwhile, the flow of guest workers has increased over the past decade and continues to rise. They keep handing out these visas. The annual inflows of guest workers amount to one-third or one-half of the number of all new IT job holders. No discussion by anybody about the impact on you, your family, and your kids. None. But what about those kids who don't go to college? The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports high school dropouts face a much higher unemployment rate than the national average. Our friends at FAIR, the Foundation for American Reform, found dropouts have been identified as the group who face competition for jobs most directly. Listen to this. The number of unemployed citizens without a high school diploma increased by 18.7%, while the number of unemployed foreign-born persons decreased by almost 25%. That is national suicide. We actually have policies in this country that promote illegal aliens and illegal alien children more than American citizen children. We actually have policies in this country promoting the importation legally through our visa system of STEM graduates in other countries who displace STEM graduates in this country. This is what the statistics show. This is fact. It's not really, it's quite unequivocal. And this is why when you are told and you hear time and time and time again, we cannot deal with birthright citizenship. We cannot limit legal immigration. We in this country promoting the importation legally through our visa system of STEM graduates in other countries who displace STEM graduates in this country. This is what the statistics show. This is fact. It's not really, it's quite unequivocal. And this is why when you are told and you hear time and time and time again, we cannot deal with birthright citizenship. We cannot limit legal immigration. We cannot build a wall to end illegal immigration. This is why when you're told a lie that this actually helps the economy, that they create a tax base that contribute to the welfare state, you've had enough. We've had a 50-year experience with this experiment that was born out of the Great Society, which was a disastrous idea, and we now have Republicans defending it. We have libertarians defending it. We have pseudo-conservatives defending it. We have Bushies all over the place defending it, defending an LBJ, Ted Kennedy, asinine policy that's hollowing out American jobs and the American economy, not to say destructive of the culture, the American culture. Because people are supposed to come here and commit to the American culture and drop the culture they're escaping from. But we have these ethnic front groups that won't tolerate it. And we have these demagogic politicians like Luis Gutierrez or these phony reporters like Jorge Ramos who keep banging the drums. What is wrong with rounding up people who violated their visas? I don't understand. These are adults or young people from other countries. They're not refugees. They broke our law. They violated the visa system. There's all kinds of visas out there for entertainers, for students, for teachers. You violate your visa after signing in your home country, your country of origin, and signing before you get into this country that you understand that it's for a limited duration and that you are prepared to leave when the time comes. Now, no, they need to be on a pathway to legalization and citizenship. What the hell for? And folks, when people have an attitude like this, that they can sign a document like that and lie, what do you think they're going to do the rest of their time in this country? Now, the president likes to point to other countries. You know, he says, you know, they don't do this in Europe. They don't do this. Okay, they don't do this in Mexico. They don't do it in Central America. They don't do it in South America. It's only two countries stupid enough to do this, us and Canada. May I say? I never could sing the Canadian national anthem. I'm not against it. People always talk about the American national anthem. I can sing ours. You know, the worst of the statists and their surrogates seek political opportunism and racial balkanization. That's what this is all about, as a means to holding or acquiring governing power. They're intent on accomplishing these ends through mostly unlawful and unconstitutional means. We know because that's what Obama does. Even now, with the expectation that a substantial percentage of newly naturalized aliens will vote for the Democrat Party's 2016 nominee for president. Did you know the Department of Homeland Security's Task Force on New Americans is reportedly focusing resources on urging 9 million green card holders, aliens, and non-citizens to become naturalized American citizens as quickly as possible so they'll influence the 2016 presidential election? Did you know that? Well, this isn't plunder and deceit. I dug it up myself. Others perpetuate the myths and outright deceptions about the economic and societal benefits of unrelenting, unassimilated waves of immigration. Now, these are among the forces that are driving the immigration agenda, and they're succeeding. Legal and illegal immigration will reach an astounding 51 million more in the next 8 years, which represents an 82% which represents 82% of the population growth in America, meaning that the immigrant population is growing four times faster than the native-born population. The Census Bureau projects that by 2023, 8 years from now, the total immigration population will be almost 15%, the highest level ever reported in American history. And yet, this is page 108, Plunder and Deceit. The American people are broadly opposed to these immigration policies. According to the Pew Research Center, 69% of Americans, 7 in 10, want to restrict and control immigration rates. 72% whites, 66% blacks, 59% Latinos. Now, you wouldn't know this listening to Luis Gutierrez and Juan Ramos and all the front groups. You wouldn't know this watching cable TV or any of the rest of it. The Gallup Group reports that by 2-1, Americans want immigration levels reduced. Reuters found 3-1. Pardon me, by the way, I caught a cold. A damn summertime cold on the damn airline that had the temperature about 42 degrees when I was flying the red eye today from California to Virginia. I never put on a blanket, and there I am with a blanket. Here's how I close out Plunder and Deceit. And by the way, you can see this book is about what's going on today. And I want to thank all of you who've left magnificent comments at Amazon. And those of you who haven't purchased it, why don't you take a look at those comments on Amazon? They're unbelievable. I'm not prodding people to write nice things. Just go ahead and look. The phrase e pluribus unum, out of many one, is part of the centerpiece of the Great Seal of the United States. It speaks to the unity of the states and the people, despite their diverse backgrounds, as one American identity with a distinctly American culture. The most troublesome aspect of unbridled immigration and the hostility toward assimilation is the certainty with which it will disunite and unravel America as millions of new immigrants self-segregate into ethnic, racial, and religious enclaves. And it's happening. And it's happening today. It is also clearly and hugely an adverse consequence on the economy, employment, governmental spending, and more? And who will suffer the most? Who will suffer the most in 10, 20, 30, 40 years from this? Yet again, your children and your grandchildren and future generations. They will inherit what has been wrought. And so don't let the smooth talkers on TV or radio, don't let Silicon Valley, the multimillionaires and billionaires who run those businesses out there, don't let the ethnic front groups, who bring so many tears to our eyes, don't let the Praetorian Guard media that protects big government, don't let the sellout Chamber of Commerce Republicans convince you, persuade you in any way that what's going on in this country is good for this country. It may be good for something, but it's certainly not good for the country, which is why the vast majority of countries don't do it. Harry Reid used to know this. He wanted to end birthright citizenship. Hat Tip Media Research Center, 1993, cut four, go.
If making it easy to be an illegal alien isn't enough, how about offering a reward for being an illegal immigrant? No sane country would do that, right? Guess again. If you break our laws by entering this country without permission and give birth to a child, we reward that child with U.S. citizenship and guarantee of full access to all public and social services this society provides. And that's a lot of services. Is it any wonder that two-thirds of the babies born at taxpayer expense at country county-run hospitals in Los Angeles are born to illegal alien?
Well, that was then. That was then, before the man had an onset of dementia, in my humble opinion. Now I want you to listen to Lindsey Graham on Deface the Nation, attacking Donald Trump, who has called for the end of birthright citizenship. I want you to listen to this clown. Go, cut seven.
But here's the state of play. Our leading Republican is embracing self-deportation.
Hey, Lindsey, I've asked you to come on the program so I can talk to you. I'm doing a Forrest Gump. That's who he reminds me of. So does Al Gore, by the way. I want to know if Lindsey Graham thinks it's wrong to deport people who have violated their visas, which amounts to almost 40% of the people who are here illegally. Round them up, they say. Round them up? Yeah, round them up. Round them up. Send them home. Do you ever hear them say, what are you going to do, round up all the tax cheats in this country? Come on, we can't enforce the law. You ever hear them say that? What are you going to do, send feds out there banging on doors, arresting people? Well, yeah, that's kind of what you do. What are you going to do, round up all those people that don't join Obamacare, don't get health care? What are you going to do, round them up? Yeah, you are actually going to round them up. They round up all the time. When it comes to American citizens, yeah, round them up. Force the law. We can't allow, you know, these militia, these right-wingers, the Tea Party. We can't allow this. Round them up. Well, what about these people who cheated and overstayed their visas? Oh, no. They have families, you know. They may have kids. What, are you going to round them up? You're going to send the feds in there? Knock them? Come on. Do you have a heart? Aren't you compassionate? And round them up. What about tax cheats? Round them up. Illegal alien? No, don't round them up. No. Then there's John Kasich, another new favorite of the I Stand for Nothing Republican crowd. He was on Deface the Nation, too. I guess they were having a hell of a time there. What, a clam bake with phony Republicans? Cut eight, go.
In my opinion, there is a solution here to this issue of immigration. Finish the wall and make it clear. Anybody that comes over that wall, once we've done it, you're going back. And then
hold on a second. Well, what if millions of people come over the wall, Johnny? Gonna round them up? Come on now, Johnny, you gonna round them up? Round them up. What if they're little kids? Gonna round them up? Go ahead.
That are here, you know, legalize them, but make sure we don't have anybody, any of the criminal element here, and have a guest worker program.
Ah, isn't that great? A guest worker program. What the hell is a visa program but a guest worker program? They violated their visas. They're here. They won't leave. Well, then legalize them. Folks, do you realize how stupid they sound? When you know the facts, when you know how the process works, when you know about 40% of the people here illegally have overstayed their visas, they're adults, students, teachers, entertainers, down the list, that they agreed to be here temporarily and they won't leave, why would you give them a legalized permanent status and then turn them into citizens? We're going to round them up. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Round them up. Now, let's see. We have nearly 18,000 police departments that employ 1.13 million people. I'm not even counting the FBI, AFT, and so forth at the federal level. We have 2.267 million prisoners in federal, state prisons, and local jails. We have 4.8 million people on probation. Somebody's getting rounded up. Somebody's getting rounded up out there. Whoa, what are you going to do, round them up? No, we'll let them roam the country. Free as can be. We'll have sanctuary cities. Oh, sanctuary cities. Sounds so nice, sanctuary. Where are you going? Going to the sanctuary to read. In a sanctuary to watch the birds. It's a sanctuary for people who love America. Sanctuary. And while they're in the sanctuary, we'll give them in-state tuition. Oh, who's going to pay for it? Don't worry about it. What are you going to do, round them up? And while they're getting in-state tuition, oh, how about driver's licenses, too? Wait a minute, that's a step too far. No, they're in a sanctuary. I have an idea. Let's stop calling them aliens. That's now a pejorative. No, it's not. It's in the dig. We get to decide what words are in, what words are out. No longer may you use the word alien. By the way, illegal? People aren't illegal. They're undocumented. So they're undocumented Americans? Yes. And soon undocumented will not be permitted. They're just here. They love America. And they love our sanctuary cities. Sanctuary. And not only that, they give birth to dreamers. Dreamers? What do you mean, dreamers? You have a problem with dreamers? No, not really. Well, what about my kid? I'm American. They're not dreamers. Dreamers. And you know what else? What? They're doing jobs Americans won't do. No, they're not. I've got the statistics here from Plunder and Deceit. American. No, no. John McCain said, who's going to pick the lettuce? 20 million people here illegally, by my estimation. There's never enough lettuce being picked, according to John McCain. And he would know. Because he's out there. He's checking everything out. He's a numbers guy. So we will round up people who sell drugs, who use drugs, who violate the tax code. We round up American citizens all the time for all kinds of reasons. There's so many laws. Never enough. We need more regulations. We've got so many regulations, we don't know how many regulations we have. But more, more, more. Except when it comes to immigration. No, we're not going to enforce those laws. Because American citizens are second-class citizens. And foreigners are first-class citizens. Get it? No, not really. Move along. Move along. We can't change this. It's inevitable. I know this to be the case because all the Bush staffers over at the New York Slimes and the Washington Compost and our favorite cable channel, they said, what are you going to do? Well, you can't do this. No, you can't do this. And besides, you heard Lindsey Graham, we're going to lose all the Latino vote. So you must embrace lawlessness. Yes, and all these other things that go along with it. Lindsey knows. And of course, Lindsey's at a whopping 0% in support in the Republican primary process, as he ridicules those who are way ahead of him. Scott Walker has also come out yesterday for ending birthright citizenship. And when they say they want to end birthright citizenship, ladies and gentlemen, what they're saying is they want to enforce the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. Oh, I know, that's radical. And, of course, coming from Trump, that's hilarious. Oh, let's all laugh together. Because I heard him denounced by Charles Krauthammer, and what Charles says goes. You know how in China it used to be Confucius says? Well, now it's Charles says. Charles who? No. Confucius? Charles, oh, look, he said it. This makes no sense. This is impossible. And by the way, with the left, nothing's impossible. You can't just legalize 5 million. Oh, watch me do it. I've got a pen and I've got my own phone. The phone's even named after me. It's an Obama phone. I'm going to legalize 5 million people. You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can and I shall. Kinds of things I can do because the Republicans allow it. And their appointments on the courts, they allow it too. You see, it's only conservatives who can't do anything. They're not allowed to, even if they're complying with the Constitution and the rule of law. Doesn't matter. Constitution is no longer the rule of law. Hence the title, Plunder and Deceit. You Republican establishment types, you just don't get it. I don't know if you'll ever get it. And I don't really give a damn if you ever get it. We're going to roll over you, one way or another, with a conservative candidate, whether you like it or not. Certainly that's my hope. What are you going to do, round them up? Here's another line that's used to make you buckle. What are you going to do, divide the families, a child from his mother? A child from her parents? We're not American. Americans don't do this sort of thing. We don't divide families. We believe in families. So I have a question. Who's dividing who from whom? Who's dividing whom from whom? Let's just look at a few scenarios. So a parent or parents are in the United States and their child is left behind. Well, who did that? Conversely, a child is in the United States, an illegal alien child, and their parents are back home in some country. Well, who did that? I didn't do it. Did you do it? Now, what kind of parenting is this? What kind of parenting is this? Particularly those who send their children into a country without them. Now, it's one thing, truthfully, if you're escaping the Holocaust, you're escaping true political repression, life and death situation. But if you want to come to America, because you love it. You love it. The vast majority of people come here because they don't want to be where they are. That's not good enough. Would you send your children somewhere under those circumstances? I wouldn't. I'd want them with me. So this stuff, whoa. You're going to divide the family? No, we haven't divided the family. Well, what if you send the child back and the parents are here? I have an idea. The parents should go with the child. The parents should go with the child. Really? Yes, really. What are you going to do, round them up? Let's take some calls. I haven't taken any calls. Joe, Eagle River, Wisconsin on the Mark Levin app. How are you, Joe?
Hello, Mark. How are you?
All right, sir. Go right ahead.
Good, Mark. I read your book in two nights. Downloaded it on Nook from Barnes & Noble. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. And, you know, I hope it's a good reference tool for you as we go forward here.
Absolutely. And, I'm old school. I used to read books by hardcover, and now I got used to reading them on a tablet. And I must say I've adjusted really well.
That's good.
I'm 73 years old, ex-military, a former reporter and editor for nearly 40 years. I'm now retired and a rare bird in a once-honored profession. I'm a conservative.
Wow.
As for your... Yeah, that makes me a rarity, doesn't it?
Sure does.
As to your excellent book, the chapter on immigration was especially illuminating. You know, lots of hard facts, figures, and logic. Again, good job.
Well, you're very, very kind.
Go ahead.
By the way, may I just intervene for a moment? A copy of this book was sent to every Republican member of Congress. Now, how many do you think actually read it?
My guess would be 1 out of 10.
I actually know Ted Cruz is reading because he told the New York Times there's 4 or 5 books he's reading. This is one of them. I actually know a few others are reading it, but the ones who should read it, they don't really care. That's why Lindsey Graham will never come here. He doesn't want to ever be confronted with the facts. Instead, he likes to go endlessly on TV and talk in that homespun way where he makes a fool out of himself.
Mark, I agree that not only every politician should read it, but every American should read it.
Well, I certainly don't disagree with that.
And I agree totally with your remarks tonight on birthright citizenship. You remember the gangster Lucky Luciano?
Of course, from Italy.
Yeah, America deported him in 1946, even though he's credited with helping U.S. intelligence during World War II. I don't know if you
that
story.
That's
true.
You
know,
they sent him to Sicily. I mean, I know it's Italy, but that's where he was from. But go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, what have these illegals ever done for us, you know? I mean, my mother came from Italy, as a matter of fact, to America in 1912. I think she was 13, 14 years old. Didn't know English, with her sister on a, and they, you know, they assimilated. She learned English and,
But Joe, back then, it was sink or swim.
Right.
You would come to the United States. You better find a job. First of all, you had to have somebody here to help you. There was no massive welfare state. There weren't these ethnic front groups, you know, with their slip and fall lawyers claiming you had rights and this, that, and the other. You were just happy to be here, and you scrounged, and you did what you had to do to put something on the table for your kids. And you moved along, and you didn't expect anything other than being in a magnificent nation that had liberty. Today... You listen to these mouthpieces on Univision and Fusion. Listen to these liberals. Like somehow we owe people who come here illegally. We don't owe them anything.
Yeah.
You know, all right, Joe. Go ahead, quickly.
Okay. I just want to say it might be valuable to remind your audience about the Mario boat lift in the 80s when Castro emptied the jails and dumped thousands of criminals on our shores.
That's right. And I was there. I mean, I remember Carter blames that with him losing the presidency. Well, of course, he lost it for many reasons. Yeah, he emptied his jails, and he sent those people to this country. All right, Joe, got to run. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Michelle, Phoenix, Arizona, Sirius Satellite. Go.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I am a fan of yours. I'm also an Air Force veteran.
Wow. We salute you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'm actually also from Chicago originally. I moved to Phoenix about 15 years ago and started a group called Mothers Against Illegal Aliens. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that group. I've been on Fox News quite often for probably the last 3 years between 2006 through before.
Well, honestly, I can't watch TV as much as I'd like to, but I'm glad to hear that. So tell us quickly what's up.
Well, the reason why I'm glad you took my call is something that we discovered a few years back, and I didn't have a chance at the time that I was on the news networks to bring this up, but the Mexican Constitution specifically states under Article 30 of the Mexican Constitution, let me read it here, it says, Mexican nationality is acquired by birth or naturalization, Section A, Mexicans by birth are, and I'll just go to number 2, those born in a foreign country of a Mexican parent or parents or of a mother and an unknown father. With this information, technically every single illegal alien woman who crosses our border, who delivers a baby, who is from at least the Mexican Constitution, from the
has dual citizenship.
No, they're not dual citizens. They are already a Mexican citizen.
I know, but under the way we practice our law, I'm saying if you have some kid born here, they from Mexican parents here illegally, they technically, under our law, not our Constitution, but the way we practice it, have dual citizenship.
Well, Well, the thing is even under our oath of naturalization, when you take it, when you become an American citizen, that violates the oath in itself when you take your oath and you give up your allegiance to the other.
No, I'm talking about, we were talking about birthright citizenship. You're not talking about that?
Yes, and those children are
not. All right, slow down then. If you have a baby, they can't take an oath, correct?
Correct.
So what I'm saying is, under the scenario you just mentioned, that baby has dual citizenship because we don't follow our constitution and the Mexicans do follow their constitution. And this is an important point in and of itself because it demonstrates that you don't have 100% allegiance to this country if, as a matter of law practiced in the United States and the constitution that exists in Mexico, they create this dual citizenship notion.
Well, I guess dual citizenship is a fallacy, if you would put it. It's not technically something that is by our laws, but it's something that's been practiced.
I know. I just spent an hour and a half explaining this, that it's not. That birthright citizenship actually doesn't exist. What I'm trying to say, follow me, is that the way we practice law in the United States today, that baby is an American citizen. And you just told me what the Mexican Constitution says. It's also a Mexican citizen. So it has dual citizenship. And I'm saying that's a problem, too.
What I'm saying is that...
Thanks for your call. I'm getting a headache. I don't have any more times to explain it. Do I want it to be that way? No. Did I just explain why it isn't that way as a matter of constitutional law? Of course I did. But we're going in circles. Don't like to go in circles. Robert, Dallas, Texas, the great WBAP. Go.
Hello, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. And I unfortunately don't have an educated opinion about citizen birthright, but I did want to take you to task, or at least ask you why, when you speak about illegal immigrants coming in, and according to your book, I don't have the exact figures, but there are less non high school.
They're not my figures, they're the government's figures.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, the figures that you have in your book, there are less non-high school graduates, American citizens getting jobs, than there are illegal aliens getting jobs. Is that correct?
Correct.
I'm sorry?
I said you're correct.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just couldn't hear you. I apologize. So my complaint...
But I already said it an hour ago. You want me to say it a third time?
I've been on the phone for about that long waiting, but
okay.
I'm glad to be on with you. But my point is that why don't you put the onus on American corporations and small businesses who hire these...
Gee, I could have sworn I said... You were listening the whole time?
Yes, sir.
I actually wrote notes. And I said in my notes... I think the second or third item is mandatory e-verify, not voluntary like we have today. Did you not hear me say that?
I guess I must have missed that.
All right. Thanks for your call. All right. There we go. Jeez. Two strikes. Let's see if we have a third. Kirk, Oakland, California, the great KSFO. How may I help you?
Yes. Hello.
Yes,
hello?
Kirk.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, Kirk. Do you spell your name with one or two Ks?
One on the beginning and one in the end.
Kirk.
Two Ks.
Yes, yes. Go ahead, Kirk.
Yeah, I there's been a lot of talk about the immigration debate, and one of the things that seems to be overshadowed in some of the things that I see, and pardon me if you did mention it, because just like the other caller, you know, I've been on hold for a while and kind of doing some other things.
But when you're on hold for a while, you can hear the show.
That's true, but going in and out of the car, just, you know.
All right, how may I help you? Go right ahead.
Well, going to high school in Central Valley and having lots of family that are in the agricultural business, it's my understanding, and from what I observe in my own eyes, there is a very, very high percentage of illegal immigrants involved in every harvest.
Why?
Season.
Why? Why aren't they seasonal workers getting visas?
Well, I don't know, and that's a much
what we used to do. I mean, you think farming from the beginning of the Republic was with illegal aliens?
No.
The nation developed, we created this immigration system, really, most significantly after the Civil War. Then we have this elaborate system of visas for seasonal farm workers. They're included, too. So why would you hire illegal aliens when you can hire people legitimately, if you think you need them, through the lawful visa process for seasonal workers.
Sure, sure. And I'm not saying that that can't happen.
Can you answer my question, yes or no?
The question being, why can't they?
I've already asked it twice. Let me try it three times. Why does somebody hire an illegal alien when they can go through the legal visa process and hire a seasonal worker? Why are they hiring illegal aliens? It's actually a very simple question. Why are they doing that?
Well, I can't answer specifically because I'm not...
Well, I'll answer for you, because it's cheaper. Because they don't have to pay them benefits. Because they don't have to pay them the minimum wage. That's why.
I could offer another offer there. I believe it's much more to do with the availability of the workforce.
I just said to you that you can hire people overseas to come into this country from your country of choice, from Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Peru, whatever you want. They come through the front door through a seasonal visa. Did you not hear me say that?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Did we used to do that? Did we used to do that?
Well,
have an argument, and you're going to keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it no matter what I just told you. It doesn't matter to you, does it?
The problem is I haven't even gotten to my comment before.
Well, what is your comment then?
My comment is this. If the plan is to kick everybody out, which I don't disagree with, they're here illegally, just like anywhere else in the world they should go. If they're not here illegally, they should be put back. The problem with that is, you would have an enormous shortage of workers.
Okay, first of all, I don't know the plan to kick everybody out. I don't know what the plan is. What I said is, let's at least get people who have violated their visas, who are adults. These are easy. Who've signed a contract, if you will, coming from their country of origin into this country. And they've overstayed their visas. Yes, they should be kicked out. They've lied, and they should be kicked out. What's wrong with that?